Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's ESPN Upstate, ESPNUpstate.com, radio.com app. Willie P. and Diesel here with you as we continue on a Wednesday, the 6th day of November, 2019. We will have Clemson women's basketball on 1330 a.m. coming up at 645. Amanda Butler's squad getting on ready to play Furman, actually, tonight. So a little clash of the Upstate Titans here coming up tonight in Little John Coliseum. 844-GSP-ESPN is the phone number. I know we had a couple people who still wanted to get in on the situation involving Clemson and its football team, ranked number 5 in the initial college football playoff rankings. I am playing the role of Stephen A. Smith, and Diesel is playing the role of Paul Feinbaum, much to his chagrin. He wants to retire. He believes it's all over, and because of that, he never wants to do anything on this program ever again, because he and Paul Feinbaum are now in concert thinking about the same thing and arguing the same point, and because of that, you feel like your entire career up to this point has been a disappointment. No. Did I characterize that all correctly?
No, I want to keep working in radio, just not with you.
That's fine.
I'm going to get my wish.
Be careful what you wish.
Because you're gone tomorrow. After tomorrow. Yeah, you're gone after tomorrow.
But I'm
you're
back.
Out of here.
But I'm back next week.
Temporarily.
Oh, is that a fact? Do you know something that I don't? Do you know something that I don't?
No.
Okay. It's fine. It's fine that you think that way. You might get your wish one of these days. 844-GSP-ESPN is the phone number. Text line 71307. We will share with you some thoughts about the basketball. We did a little bit on the basketball earlier from Clemson's perspective, a 67-60 loss to Virginia Tech, dropping the Tigers to 0-1. They're back on it with a quick turnaround. They'll play Thursday against Presbyterian. They have another game Sunday. And really, they're trying to do something with no football this weekend in town to try and at least get some people out there at a Little John Coliseum. Looked like they had a nice turnout last night, especially from the students. They got a chance to get over there and see the boys for the first time, but they fall short. See if they can get themselves back on track, taking on the Blue Hose tomorrow. Again, Furman victorious over Gardner-Webb on the road, and Wofford beating Erskine for the first win in the college career of Jay McCauley. And also, again, like to thank or wish congratulations to Jay and his lovely wife, Sally, who are now proud parents for the second time, who a beautiful young girl, Charlie McCauley, born over the last couple of hours here. Congratulations to the McCauley family, not only for the victory, but also for the birth of their second child. The South Carolina Gamecocks getting ready to take on North Alabama. This is a game that Frank Martin has a lot of significance with when it comes to at least personal ability when it comes to North Alabama. Tony Puyol is a guy he has a connection with in a previous entity. This is a situation where, this will be very interesting for South Carolina because last year, early in the season, they struggled mightily in some of these non-conference games. Remember 2 years ago, they played that incredibly, what was deemed as being soft. I don't want to say it was deemed as soft. People were calling it soft. Frank Martin got angry, saying, I don't duck anybody. I don't do any of these things. This is not what I do. It's not about me. And as a result of that, got a lot of people kind of, rubbed the wrong way when it comes to the way that schedule was. Then last year, they played a real, what I would call weird game against USC Upstate. Then they lost to Stony Brook, lost to Providence in Connecticut, lost to Wofford at home, and also went on the road, lost at Wyoming, a team that was very, very bad, and a loss that was kind of held against them as a bit of an albatross. Also lost to Michigan, also lost to Virginia, also lost to Clemson. So four in a row, basically in the loss column before the chairs of the season were even warm, before they got themselves into the conference play. So the non-conference schedule really killed them last year. And it wasn't just the games against big competition. It was the games against teams like Stony Brook and Wyoming. And that's one thing that Frank Martin addressed with his team. He has a lot back in this year's squad. And he says that after consulting with the players, they did overlook some opponents on last year's opening slate.
They didn't really mentally prepare to play some of these teams because they were schools that they had never heard of. And that's the biggest mistake young players make. They take the game for granted because it's a school that maybe they've never heard of or whatever it may be, and that's how you learn. That's why it's so hard to win with freshmen. People, you know, there's only certain freshmen that are talented enough to help you overcome those days, but it's hard to be consistent when you got nothing but freshmen this early in the year because a lot of those guys take some of these teams for granted. That's the only thing I've done differently is that I've tried to make them understand, not to slight the opponent, but to make them understand if we had approached things this time of year with the same sense of urgency we did once we got the conference play, we would have been in postseason play last year.
The slate looks like this. Tonight against North Alabama, then Sunday, the return game with Wyoming. Again, that's one of Frank's old players who coaches at Wyoming. Then Cleveland State on a week from Friday. Then they have the opening round games at the Cancun Challenge. They play Boston University, then Gardner-Webb. Then they head to Cancun to play Wichita State, tough customer, with the Fighting Greek Marshals, and then they'll take on either West Virginia or UNI before taking on GW, UMass, Houston, which is no picnic, at Clemson, at Virginia, and then Stenson to take on the Hatters to close out the non-conference slate. So I think this is a good mesh between what they saw last year and what they saw the year before. Playing at John Paul Jones Arena is not going to be easy. Playing the Clemson game at Clemson is not going to be easy, of course. That is a game that always is pretty close. Houston will be a tough one at home. Should beat UMass. But again, these are all still subject to change until we figure out what exactly the Gamecocks look like on the floor. Mentioned the connection with the head coach at Wyoming. Frank Martin also has a connection to the North Alabama staff and their head coach, who is Tony Puyol.
Tony, who coaches North Alabama, is from my neighborhood. He was my assistant AAU coach back in the 90s. He got his first head coaching job at a small little private school in Miami, and I put him in our tip-off tournament to help him back in 1993, I want to say it was. I was at North Miami High School at the time, he's a dear friend. His wife was my oldest son's kindergarten teacher. I know how his teams will play. I know what he demands. I know what he expects. But they have a lot of first-year guys. So there's a lot of unknown, not just with our team, but with the opponent, that makes it a little uneasy for the old ball coach early in the season.
Yeah, 10-22 last year was North Alabama, so they were not good. This is only the second season for Tony Puyol, and they will bring in a much different type of test for South Carolina. But again, they were a team that, again, last year let Stony Brook beat them. Stony Brook out of the America East, not exactly the kind of conference this team comes out of the Atlantic Sun. So again, a one-bid type league team and one that's not projected to win the league at all. So they need to be on their P's and Q's in order to at least be able to fight with this North Alabama outfit. When it comes to the situation involving the roster, one thing that David Kloniger of the Post and Courier tweeted out just recently, newsflash, everybody is healthy with the exception of one person. And that, of course, that one person is Keyshawn Bryant, who underwent surgery to repair some cartilage in his knee. It's not a ligament tear, but it was a cartilage tear. They're expecting him to miss about a month of time. But again, it just stands to reason that the injury bug is not something that has left the South Carolina team. They went through it a lot last year. They were able to be somewhat injury-free throughout the summer, but yet, as the calendar turns to November, they find themselves behind the eight ball with a projected starter on the shelf.
Part of my maturation as a head coach is I think I don't make players do some of the crazy stuff I used to make guys do before in practice, even at K-State. I think the way I manage practice now is so much better than the way I used to. But the injury bug here has been like – and it's not just me. I mean, heck, Will's dealing with a third-string left tackle or right tackle. One of those two guys is a third – it's like at one time all three quarterbacks are hurt. It's like, you know, what Mark went through last year with his pitching staff. Every time someone threw, they tore a Tommy John. It was like – I don't know. I wish I had the answer. I pray about it every single Sunday. It's one of the first things that when I'm at church, I to give me patience to manage whatever comes our way and to give our guys health, because it's incredible. It really is.
And contrary to popular belief, he's not making those guys go down and do loose ball drills and charge drills. And that's something he said that he did when he was in high school and was more of a fundamental teacher. He doesn't do a lot of that stuff at all anymore, especially as they get closer to the season. So as a result of that, it is kind of weird. We were talking about this yesterday or 2 days ago, but there is a popular conspiracy theory among Gamecock fans that Under Armour is a deficient level of equipment or has a deficient level of equipment, especially when it comes to the cleats and the shoes, the basketball shoes, and it has a higher propensity for turned ankles. I don't know how much of that is real. I know one thing, the technology in the shoes is causing them to grip a lot tighter and grip a lot better. And so that, you know, that makes movement a lot harder. I almost feel like basically what I'm saying is the technology is almost too good for all these shoes. So as a result, it's a situation where things are a little bit different than they might have used to be when it comes to the shoes. And specific to Bryant's injury, there wasn't a non-contact moment with him. It was not even a moment where like he went down with his knee. It was more he woke up, felt pain, they found the cyst, and then they went in there and they saw, okay, there was a cartilage tear. So it wasn't like there was a situation where like he had a non-contact knee injury or knocked knees or did something and float go to the wall. This is something that they found as a result of an infection. So it wasn't an equipment issue with him.
Right. I'm not an athletic equipment expert by any means, but you know, I've bought some, and I'm sure you've probably bought something at some point in your life that is a purpose-made piece of athletic equipment. So it is designed to do one thing really well.
Of course.
Well, there are other things that it can't do very well. You know, I buy CrossFit shoes, and they are designed to be really good as a lifting shoe, or they're designed to be good for good and durable for rope climbing, but they're awful for running.
Mm-hmm.
And so they do have a tendency to, or people who wear them a lot do have a tendency to develop knee injuries a little bit more. And it's not because the shoe stinks. It's because it's not a running shoe, but people are wearing it as a running shoe. And so I'm saying in the spirit of the allegation, I guess it's possible. You know, these shoes may be designed to be stronger or stiffer in this element, but as a result of them being stronger and stiffer at this part of the shoe, it could cause injuries that were unforeseen.
I know it's hard to imagine looking at me the way that I am built now, but I did used to do a lot of weight training and strength training with a personal trainer. And I used to have, you know, I used to buy basketball shoes as my common shoe or whatever. And I used to wear them to my sessions with the personal trainer. And after a couple of sessions, he's like, "Why do you wear basketball shoes to weightlift?" It's just my sneakers. He says, "Don't wear those ever again." He said, "Buy either cross training shoes or wrestling shoes, because we were lifting some pretty heavy weight. Like at one point, not to humble brag, but I was deadlifting 325 at one point."
Yeah, the weight transfer. You lose a lot of transfer of energy from your foot to the ground if you're wearing a squishy shoe.
thought you'd be impressed by the fact that I was deadlifting 325
that's
pounds.
That's nice.
It was very nice.
That's nice.
It's a humble brag for yours truly.
Yeah, that's good.
You don't seem impressed. That's what I used to,
I'm not going to say my number because I know you don't want me to.
What's your number?
425.
Okay. It's fine. That's fine.
Still, 320 is pretty good.
325. Good. That was at the height of my.
It's a nice little weight.
Stop it.
You brought this on yourself.
It's whatever. Can't let me feel good about anything. Frank Martin asked what he wants to see tonight. Easy for me to say. What he wants to see tonight, regardless of the result.
We have to create an identity on how we're going to play on offense. And I know how we practice. There's first-year guys that are going to play, and there's older guys that I've changed some stuff that we're doing offensively that are trying to understand what we're doing a little differently and getting everyone on the same page so we can create that identity offensively. I think that's important. And then I want to see us play in a game with people in the stands through the things I know we're doing well right now. Like I can tell you, one of the things that I really like about this team is offensive rebounding. I think we can be a really good offensive rebounding team. We didn't do that as well as we needed to in the scrimmage that you guys didn't see. We were just okay in the exhibition game. We got to get better at that. We got to inject that component into this game right away because that can be a trait that's a strength of this team.
I love how they're not supposed to talk about the closed scrimmage, yet they talk about the closed scrimmage. Like that's the thing that I never like. I never liked the fact, we're not really supposed to talk about the closed scrimmage, but we really talked about the closed scrimmage. Like Clemson played theirs on the 20th of October against Georgia Southern, and South Carolina played theirs a couple days before their before their exhibition. They played theirs against Illinois. So again, we're not supposed to talk about it. God forbid we don't talk about it. It's dumb. The whole thing's dumb. 844-GSP ESPN's the phone number. Text line 71307. They used to do them as they turn these into situations where you can play them as charity exhibitions, but even there are certain rules against doing that now because the NCAA is more consistently concerned about trying to keep money away from kids than it is actually doing things to help the sport. Was that too harsh? Just a little too harsh on Mark Emmert? That Indianapolis stooge. You're not going to say anything, are you? You just want me to go to break because I'm already long for a break. 844-GSP ESPN's the phone number. Text line 71307. I wanted to at least make sure we got our friend Cole Bryson high school report on because again Friday is Diesel so callously mentioned won't be here Friday, but wanted to at least make sure we got a preview for Burns Friday game. In the opening round of the playoffs against Nation Ford and also some of the other matchups that are going on across the upstate and across the state in general with the playoffs beginning this week. It's ESPN Upstate, ESPNUpstate.com, and the Radio.com app.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Yeah, ESPN Upstate, ESPNUpstate.com, Radio.com app. Texter from the 864 goes, 325-pound defensive line and Osterine-enhanced number? Oh, deadlift, is that an Osterine-enhanced number? That's Listen, Clay, who's texting. Listen, Clay, you could find Osterine in anything.
Yeah, you were so ingrained in this job that you think DL means defensive line.
That's fine. That's very funny. Trying to get in touch with Cole Bryson. I don't think Cole is in an area where he can receive cell phone reception because I just texted him and it has the thing. You don't have this because you don't have an iPhone because you're not an evolved human being. You have the ability to text somebody via iMessage and also via regular text message. And when the iMessage doesn't go through, it basically means that he's not in an area where he can receive cell phone service. So he just ignored that subtle dig at the Android phone.
God, you're a sheep.
I'm not a sheep.
You're a sheep.
I happen.
Everybody has the same phone. Everybody does.
I happen to like my Apple, and I happen to like my Blue Bubbles.
I like my blue bubbles. 325.
Whenever I see a green bubble, I'm a little angry.
I would leave you on red.
I've ended relationships because of green bubbles as opposed to blue bubbles. Probably more of an indication as to how intolerant I am. Nothing to do with actually iPhones or Androids. Probably more about my intolerance. Just because I have it in front of me and I have the information in front of me, Nation Ford 6-4 on the season, finishing third in their region. Burns 9-1. Starting tight end Chris Bird has been ruled out for the season, and a huge loss for the Rebels. Other games of note: Woodmont and Sumter 6-4. Woodmont, Sumter undefeated 9-0. It should be close according to what Cole thinks, but he's leading Sumter. Don't be surprised though if Woodmont can pull the upset. Gaffney and Rock Hill, that's interesting. The Indians are the hottest team in the upstate right now. 7-3 is Rock Hill under David Pittman. He does believe that Gaffney will pull away, though, in the second half and win this one. Dorman and Greenwood shouldn't really be close. Malden, T.L. Hanna. Hanna finishing 7-2. Of course, that team for the first time playing without Zach Pickens. Malden finishing 5-5, Hanna finishing 7-2. He believes that Hanna is the better team in this scenario. Something else to bring to the table that we had earlier in the show, but want to at least bring back to you, is the fact that this LSU-Alabama game, very contingent on the availability of Tua Tagovailoa. According to what Nick Saban had to say in his press conference Wednesday, he's made promising strides this week and a good chance that he will play. They say it's still day-to-day. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow or the next day, but he's moving the ball around well and throwing well with confidence. The only big question with him is his mobility, but every day that he has played has improved dramatically. The other part of this, too, that you have to understand if you're Alabama, is that much of Tua's receivers have bailed him out of situations. And because of that, you wonder about the ability of them to get themselves up off the mat and change things. And I believe that they should be able to, even with LSU coming in here as a team that is ranked higher. Bama is a favorite for a reason. They do have it at home. And I think, again, they will craft a game plan that is centered around, easy throws, lots of slide protection. They're not going to allow LSU to even come within the same zip code of him. And I think that should be very well taken care of. This is going to resemble a Big 12 game. There's no two ways about it. We're going to talk a little bit more about it tomorrow with Ross Dellinger, I should say, the very, very outstanding reporter for Sports Illustrated. He's going to be there as well as Donald Trump. I'm going to see if he's going to He might take his lovely wife with him, who's a White House correspondent with the Washington Post. Wondering if that'll be a combo trip for the two of them to go down to Baton Rouge and see LSU Alabama, and also exactly what the situation involving the president should be. 844 GSP ESPN. The phone number, text line, is at 71307. the Clemson Tigers getting ready for NC State. One thing that Dabo was asked during his press availability yesterday is what seems to be the reasoning behind this matchup getting as much pub as it usually does. Obviously, these two have a long-standing rivalry, but it also has led to some games that might have been closer than originally had anticipated, and NC State seemed to, at least up until last year, had found kind of some sort of elixir, played Clemson close, even almost beat them inside their building in a game that went to overtime a couple of years ago. But Dabo says the long-standing history between these two teams has allowed familiarity to breed contempt.
It's the textile bowl, you know? I mean, it just goes way back. And we forget about that. There's a trophy getting handed out after this game. It's somewhere around here. I guess we'll load it up and take it up there. I mean, I don't know. I don't really. It's out of my lane. But I assume Abe or somebody will grab the trophy and bring it. But there's a trophy on the line, just like Boston College. There's a trophy on the line in that game, and I think that's kind of cool. But I think just the history. NC State's been really good too, man. They've had some, goodness gracious, they've had some players. They've had a bunch of really good players over these last several years. And I think Dave and them do a great job. I mean, they're really, truly a very well-coached team. And play tough, play physical. You know, again, this is just a team that's dangerous because they're young and a little unpredictable. You know, so you just don't know. For us, we got to be locked in and we got to play well.
I was yesterday years old when I realized that they actually played for a trophy with the Textile Bowl. Did you know that?
No, I used to grow up going to the Textile Bowl every time it was in Clemson, but I never knew that there was a trophy.
There was a trophy?
Apparently, is it like a cotton bale or something?
No, it's a pretty standard looking trophy. It's just a little bowl.
Huh.
But it's got the names of
a little on the
winners.
Nose, don't you think? An actual bowl?
Oh, it is a bowl. It's very much a bowl. It's funny, Dabo, Muschamp made the joke last year about the Mayor's Cup between South Carolina and Missouri. You know, he said, I don't really know where the Mayor's Cup is, even though they had won it a couple of years. And I was like, I don't really know where that is. It's somewhere. It's in our building. Couldn't tell you where it is, but it's in our building. They, of course, had to give the Mayor's Cup back to Missouri this past year. Oh.
Was there a ceremony, or did they just kind of hand it over?
They basically hand it over. Well, and a lot of times, too, like, what you'll see in these trophy games is that, especially if there's a transfer of it, you will see the opposing team go over to the opposite sideline to go get it. Like, I remember there was one year Missouri and Iowa used to play for Missouri and Iowa State, I should say, used to play for a trophy called the Telephone Trophy, which literally was a telephone. And it's the reason it was called that game is because of the fact that there was a game where the headsets went out and they had to basically go to telephones to talk to back and forth to the booth. And so they put half the telephones black and gold, the other half of the telephone, and it's like just like a little headset receiver there is red and yellow. And there's
I love those stupid little trophies.
It's
like
stupid.
That.
Well, it's this Paul Bunyan's axe as well.
It's not bad. I like that one.
Again, he mentioned the Boston College with their helmet trophy. But again, there's one image I remember of a year where it changed hands, where Missouri literally went all the way over to the other side to grab the trophy. And you can take the receiver off the trophy. And so they're like pretending they're talking on the phone. They're like, hello, hello, that kind of thing. So yeah, it's these trophy
things. It really
things
is just
cool.
A phone.
It's a phone on a receiver. It's yeah. A phone on a receiver. And it's got a pedestal to it.
Yeah.
It basically looks like a big phone pedestal is what it is. Telephone trophy. Missouri and Kansas played for a drum, big bass drum type deal.
App State and Western Carolina played for a moonshine jug.
And Dabo mentioned the Clemson-Boston College leather helmet game, so there's trophies. There's trophies to be won. We mentioned this a little bit yesterday, but there is a Swiss Army knife on this Clemson defense that is not named Isaiah Simmons. Kayvon Wallace has started to come into his own, and he has made this game his own personal proving ground.
He's tough. He's physical. He doesn't get a lot of the credit that he deserves because he does the dirty work, man. He'll get in there, and he's gritty. And it would be pretty cool. I'd love to see if it'd be great if he could find a way to get interceptions. I think he'd be the first guy ever
to have an interception in, against the opponent four times. So that'd be a pretty cool accomplishment. But he's just really every year gotten better. And he's just more detailed than he's ever been. He's just more confident, obviously more experienced. He's catching the ball. He's making plays on the ball, although he did have one. I don't know if it was this past game or the game before where he had one right to him. But he's really made plays on the ball. But he's a physical tackler. And he's just very multiple. I mean, he's a good player. He'll make it at the next level for sure. He's like getting three guys on your roster. But he's really helped himself, and it's fun to see. He's the epitome of what you want your program to be about.
That is a little bit from Dabo Swinney. We have tracked down our good friend Cole Bryson. We'll get him on the line to chat a little bit about the high school scene coming up next. Wanted to at least also play this for you with Dabo with regards to his, relationship with Willie Taggart and the fact that, you know, people really wanted Dabo out here early, and there was a lot of impatient Clemson fans, especially given Dabo's inexperience in the field and what it turned into for him over those first couple of years, especially to the end of the second year. He says that it was basically up to Terry Don Phillips to make sure that, hey, that this group had some patience in what he was trying to build at Clemson, and they're reaping the benefits of that patience now.
I'd have been real cheap to fire, too. I think they'd have just called U-Haul. That's all I had in my contract. I didn't even read my first contract. Literally, they handed it to me, and I went, where do I sign? I didn't have no agent. I just signed it. I had no idea what was in my first contract, and that's the true story. I didn't have a clue what he was going to pay me. I think he paid me $800,000, and I didn't have a buyout. I think he had like a longevity fund that if I was still the head coach in like 20 years, I might get $500,000 if they fire me or something like that. I don't know. But if they – I didn't even read it. So I'd have been real cheap to get rid of after 21 games. So I'm just thankful to Terry Don that he believed in me. And, there's no magic wand, especially if you're going to do it right. First 21 games, I was 13-8 as a head coach. So sometimes you just got to be patient. But having said that, I don't know what the situation. Maybe there's things there that I don't know. I don't know why people make decisions the way they make them.
844-GSP-ESPN is the phone number. Text line 71307. The as promised high school playoff report with our good friend Cole Bryson next on ESPN Upstate. Coming up on AM 1330, we will chat and do a little Clemson women's basketball. Head coach Amanda Butler's squad getting ready to take on Furman. We'll bring you to that here in mere moments on ESPN Upstate. For now, it is our pleasure to be joined by our good friend Cole Bryson, who joins us here on ESPN Upstate, ESPNUpstate.com, radio.com app. What's happening, man? How are you?
Hey, man. How are y'all? Good to talk to you again.
This game, when it comes to the situation with Burns, they take on this Nation Ford squad for the postseason. And what are your thoughts on what they have to bring to the table here in this contest to open up the region playoffs?
Well, you know, the thing about it is, man, Burns last week was just so banged up to going into that game versus Bowling Springs. And, you know, we talk about the main goal is to obviously win, but, you know, kind of 1B is to get out healthy, and Burns did. You know, during the game, if you listened, he had several guys go down, and the biggest thing is Chris Bird went down with an ankle injury and is going to have surgery and will be out the rest of the season. One of the Burns starters on offense, wide receiver, kind of tight end guy that they rely on, not just in the passing game, but also in the run game for blocking for Rajay Harris. He's a utility guy that they like to use a lot in a lot of different situations. So him being out the rest of the season, that definitely hurts. You're going to have a next man up mentality. Guys like Braden Blake and, Zy Webster are going to have to step up and fill a big role. But talking to Coach Shaw today, Will, he feels like this team is slowly getting back healthy. And I think You'll see most of the starters back Friday night against Bennington. Not a bad team. Like Coach Shaw said today, anytime a team has a win over a team from Region 2-5A, like Nathan Ford does over Spartanburg, you got to respect them.
Talking with Cole Bryson here on ESPN Upstate to kind of handicap where Burns is. And I know that the players are not allowed to look forward, but we are as people who analyze these things. How would you surmise the degree of difficulty when it comes to what Burns has to face beyond this week and in the coming up in the upcoming Upper State postseason?
Man, it's a tall task. You know, we were talking about this earlier. On all sides, you kind of, like you said, you hope the players don't look ahead and they take it one game at a time. But when I print the bracket off and I look at all the potential matchups of who I think, you know, will be continuing to play in the playoffs, I see Burns next week having to go to Lawrence, the region champ, and then the following week, if they win that game, getting to come back home and face a red hot Gaffney team potentially. And then if you win that one, go on the road and play a team that you lost to in Dorman. And that's all before the state championship. So, it's like I said, it's a tall task. You know, I think Burns can do it. I think their expectation is to be in Columbia, and I think they realize their window of opportunity is now. But, man, it's not going to be easy.
Looking at some of the other matchups, Woodmont and Sumter, you think this one's going to be close?
Yeah, you know, Sumter's record and Woodmont's record aren't close. But I think this game could be interesting. As of right now, I still haven't decided who I am going to go with in this game. But I think Woodmont is a little underrated, and I think Sumter may be a little overrated. You know, Woodmont's style of offense with a jet Turner led wing T triple option kind of offense can be tricky. And for Sumter, who hasn't faced an offense like that, I think this could, you know, possibly trip up Sumter. I'm not saying I think Woodmont's going to win as of yet. I haven't decided, but, man, I'm not sold that Sumter's going to go in the first round and get a win. I kind of like Woodmont to surprise some people. It should be a really good game.
How do you feel about this Malden TL Hannah scrape that, you know, Hannah is not the Hannah of recent years. They do have a good record, but Malden, you think they have an opportunity to possibly trip Hannah up, or is this Hannah too good?
Well, man, I hope so. The cabin on the show on Saturday, the line head coach at Malden, great guy. He's really from Malden in a good direction, and they've played a lot of good football this year, but they've also stumbled against very teams like Gaffney, Dorman, and Burns. I think Malden is going to run issue Friday of being less physical and kind of outsized, if you will. I think T.L. Hanna's combination of size and speed will kind of trip Malden up, kind of like, you know, teams like Bowling Springs, even Bowling, you know, Malden beat Bowling Springs, but Bowling Springs gave Malden a really good game, and then you saw when they went against the big three in Dorman, Gaffney, and Burns, it wasn't close. I think it's going to be a combination. I'd like to think Malden has a chance. At the end of the day, I think T.L. Hanna's just more talented, and especially at the skill position areas that are so important. But I know Malden's not going to go down without a fight. I think it's going to be close for a little while, but maybe late third quarter, I like T.L. Hanna to pull away.
Last one for you. I'll take one more shot at this. Gaffney and Rock Hill. This is one where you have one of the hottest teams in the upstate taking on a Rock Hill squad that, quite honestly, better than expected.
Yeah, it is. And listen, I could be totally wrong, but I don't think this game will be close. I think Gaffney will handle business against Rock Hill, and I think they'll win by, you know, 4 or 5 touchdowns. I really do. Gaffney, man, there's so many variables to look at. Stan Ellis being back is a big one. He has just improved this football team. He went down with a broken collarbone, and man, came back just like, you know, quick for a collarbone, and I hope he's healthy because he's a phenomenal football player. But Stan Ellis being on that Gaffney team is a huge plus. It's a huge bonus, and they have played much better. Look how they ended the season. Bowling Springs and Spartanburg demolished them both. Andre Lindsay, the quarterback, has played a little, he's got a little more healthy as well, and you know his confidence has gone up a lot. So I think Gaffney really, they're in stride right now. They're the hottest team, and honestly, I don't want to play Gaffney right now. I mean, I like Rock Hill. I think they're good. And I think they're really disciplined and well-coached from what I've seen on film on Rock Hill. But I think Gaffney's just the much better and, right now, hotter football team.
Cole Bryson, voice of the Burns Rebels. Thanks so much, Cole. Appreciate it.
Yeah, man. Talk to you guys soon.
I was rooting, really, really rooting hard for Cole's phone line that entire segment. Because, again, I know we were up against it. I know that our opportunities to talk to him were limited, and I wanted to at least try, because I tried to at least get the high school people some time on these airways, because I know it's important to the station. It's important to y'all who care about it a lot. I wanted to at least try and get him in, but, man, I was rooting for his phone line. Who has a better chance? Cole's phone line, it's staying connected, or NC State to cover the 32 on Saturday? Because I feel like that Cole's phone line was a bigger underdog than NC State.
It was wavering hard the whole time.
Oof, man. Felt bad about it.
His phone line connection's a 3-and-out right now.
It's very good. It's very good for you. 844-GSP, ESPN's a phone number. And again, that's not his fault. I know we wanted to get him on, and we were able to try and get through it, and we did. 844-GSP, ESPN, the phone number, text line 71307. I have some great Gabe Murchison notes coming up. He's a hot dog boy with a he's eating cupcakes now instead. It's ESPN Upstate. You know, I should know what your flavor palette is right now. We've done this, like, how long? 3.5, 4 months? I should know what type of beer you like to drink. I feel like I'm woefully underprepared in that area.
Anything but an IPA. I won't drink them. I don't like them. People who drink IPAs, they just do it because it's popular. They're not good. Okay. And you've got nothing but diesel for the next 3 minutes here on ESPN Upstate. Willie P is a little hot dog boy.
I'm walking away from you.
You can't compare me to Paul Feinbaum and then expect barbs not to fly.
How did you not know that I very much love IPAs? What's wrong
and
with
you,
it?
And you have an iPhone.
What's wrong with IPAs?
That's two strikes against you.
What is wrong with an IPA?
They're
what is wrong good. With an India Pale
they're,
Ale?
They're trendy.
I love the
it's
hops.
A trendy beer.
I want to taste hops in my beer. I want my beer to have hops. Is that a crime that I want hops in my beer? Why is it bad that I want hops in my beer? I want my beer to taste like beer. I don't want it to taste like water. Come on, man.
There's a lot of other things to flavor your beer with besides bitter in your face hops.
Well, we all can agree on one thing.
Beer is an incredible thing.
I wasn't going there.
Okay.
It's better than, you know, some people who, you know, just drink White Claw all the time. Not that I would call anybody out directly.
Not that we know anybody who drinks White Claw.
Not that I would call anybody out directly who gets packages of White Claw delivered to the radio station in his name. Too soon? Am I being a little, that's the thing.
Why, you know White Claw's a thing when like there are university sponsored cans. You know, like, you know how there was Bud Light cans for different schools.
They're doing fan cans for
No, they you know it's a big deal when there are fan cans. But I don't think there are yet, but there need to be.
They'd be
super popular in the other Greenville. North Carolina.
Oh, North Carolina.
Yeah.
Have you ever partied over there?
Yeah, one time.
It's
on a different level.
Oof. There was a bar there. I don't know if it still exists. It was called Rehab. Let me tell you. I don't want to make that joke. I don't want to make that joke because she's no longer living. I don't want to make that joke.
Okay. Way to tease us and then not pay off.
I don't want to make that joke. It would be considered gauche.
All right, we'll shovel some dirt on that joke and you can tell me off the air.
It's considered gauche to make ill and make fun of the no longer with us. Plus I happen to live off of a whole karma thing. I don't think it's good karma to do that either. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to talk, it's Opposition Research Day. We're going to talk to Joe Giglio, covers NC State, Ethan Joyce, who covers App State, and also we'll get Ross Dellinger on the LSU-Alabama game. For Diesel, I'm Willie P. Enjoy the hoops tonight. See you later.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.